back to the Stock Market Options Trading Podcast. My name is Eric, and in this episode, I want to talk about a recent trade I was in and how it seemed like it was the longest trade of my life, even though it was only a one day to expiration, also known as one DTE trade. Now, we're not going to get into the full one DTE option strategy in this episode, but I did post the strategy with the research and everything on YouTube for free. If you want to check that out, I'm going to put a link in the description of the podcast or the show notes or whatever they call them these days, so you can check out that free video. It's a more mathematical approach to options trading than you're probably used to. I know, you know, we always talk about math and probabilities. This is probably even a step further towards a mathematical style trade. But you're going to find out here why in a second that there's actually some challenges with trading a strategy like that. Now, the video is less than 10 minutes long. So after listening, if you're interested in some updated options trading research about the strategy, check out that video when you get a chance. Now, at a high level, the strategy is basically one variation of running a stock market insurance company, which I've talked about on this show before. And the general idea is basically if the market is in a bullish condition, we're going to be selling a one DTE or one day to expiration put credit spread, meaning it expires the next day. And we're going to sell that spread towards the end of the day. And the idea here is that with our analysis that there's a good chance the market will close higher the following day, allowing you to keep that premium. So if you think of selling a put spread as a way to insure the market on a certain period of time, and we're again talking about one day, these things expire the following day, then we are looking to keep that premium that we sell with the market going higher, or at least not closing lower or within a couple points the following day. Now, for this strategy, because the bullish conditions are pretty much known before the end of the day, it actually lends itself to automating the trade. And that's kind of part of the story that I'm going to go through today. The automation part, this is something we've been working on and experimenting with in my Alpha Traders Club group, which is over on the website, the stockmarketoptionstrading.net website. And basically, when the conditions are met, you would turn the bot on for that day, you enable it. And if the criteria is met for the trade, you enable it. And then if the criteria is not met, maybe there's a bearish condition or something, we basically disable the bot. So pretty much before the week begins, we kind of know what days we're going to be trading this. And we've been getting, when you look at the research, it's several trades. You can get 3-4 trades a week in most particular weeks. So I like the high frequency part about it. So we're working on the automation part of it, which is not, I wouldn't say fully automated, because there are times where you may want to disable that bot if the market just starts tanking in the last hour or something. Then, you know, maybe you want to turn the bot off. But we have some really specific criteria for that. So again, we're taking this trade towards the end of the day and the options expire the following day. So technically, this option only has 24 hours to live. So why would I say that this is the longest trade of my life? Because it's literally a 24-hour trade. Now, the research I did showed that in this particular strategy that holding to expiration made more money than taking profits earlier, like at 50% or something. And we go back and forth about this, when to take profits when you're talking about credit spreads. There's basically research that's going to tell you to do one thing versus the other. I think it ultimately depends on which strategy you're changing or trading. If you're trading like a 45-day strategy, taking profits at 50% might be better. In this particular strategy, holding to expiration seemed to be better in the profits. The win rate was a little bit less, but the profits were clearly more. And one of the things we've been talking about in the groups is, you know, kind of a discretionary exit, like mechanical entry, discretionary exit. And you'll kind of, when we get into the trade recap here, you'll understand what that means. But basically, if you're able to take profits quick, then maybe you take the profits as opposed to holding. You know, so there's still some personal decisions that you have to make with any strategy. But the research for this particular one did show that holding to expiration did make more money. So that was my plan when I configured the bot, was to open that trade on the day that I was supposed to and hold that trade to expiration. Now, it's really easy to compare, you know, the back test, the historic results, let's say, for holding the expiration and taking profits at 50%, for example. But it's often hard to look at those comparisons and really understand how it feels to be in that trade for that 24 hours, right? So again, we're talking about 24 hours. Just because the research says, oh, this one made more money, but there's other criteria or there's other data in that research that's different too. So if you only look at the end result, oh, this one made more money, and you don't look at the P&L curve or you don't look at the win rate, all of those things, or the drawdown, all of those things are also factors you need to consider. And you may not like, you'd rather make maybe a little bit less money over time, but have a higher win rate and reduce your drawdown, that kind of thing. So, you know, there's different opinions about that. So that's something that we've been talking more about in the group is, you know, these strategies have a lot of nuances when it comes to actually trading them. So let me walk you through the recent trade from a couple of days ago and how it went and why, you know, kind of saying all this. So it was the end of the day, the trade criteria was valid. So I turned the trading bot on for the 1 day to expiration put credit spread. Before I even turned this bot on, I was dealing with some sort of mental things here, right? So first feeling I had to deal with is that the fact that the market had been rallying from a V bottom on whatever oscillator indicator, whatever indicator you look at, we're basically kind of in this overbought position, trading near all-time highs. So before, you know, I even entered the trade, I was thinking, man, the market's overbought here. I can't believe I'm going to sell a 1 day to expiration put credit spread. We're kind of coming off a V bottom. So there was that. The research doesn't consider overbought or oversold conditions. So even though that's something I mentally look at and watch, the research I had done doesn't look at that. It doesn't care what the market has been doing and you know, from an overbought, oversold sort of scenario. So that's something that as a human I'm thinking about, but the back test or the research isn't thinking about. So I have to separate that, right? The second thing to mentally deal with here was that the following day, I think it was a Monday, the following day, the day of expiration that this would have been was a Tuesday, and the core PPI report was going to be released before the bell. So this is basically a major inflation report that's going to guide Fed policy. You know, it's pretty much impossible to predict the outcome of A, what the inflation report will be, and B, how the market will react. So we're going into the next day with, you know, things that I watch, news events. I usually try to avoid Fed announcements and those type of things, not to mention Powell was speaking shortly after that. So again, even though the criteria was there to take this to ensure the market for 24 hours, we had a lot of news coming out the following day. So that was dealing with your feelings about this. Like, this was what was happening before we even got into the trade. I hadn't even put the trade on yet. It was like, should I turn this bot on or should I not trade it, right? The research from going back, you know, 15 months or however long it was, it didn't consider this stuff, right? So there's all these extra things that we as humans think about that whatever research you're doing probably didn't factor that in, right? Or at least not with the tools that I'm using. So again, this is going to be the longest trade of my life because I'm going to open this trade up knowing that I have these events and it's just, I'm either going to win or lose, right? And I can actually accept the win and loss part. That wasn't too bad. I was like, this thing is either going to win and the risk reward is close enough to where I'm okay with it, or it's going to lose, right? And that's something that I've already accepted. And, you know, I'm trading this small anyway because we were testing out the bots to make sure everything configured or triggered properly. So the bot's enabled. I get filled. I'm in the trade. I'm done, right? Not a big deal. I was fine. The next morning, I'm eagerly waiting the inflation report. And the headline number showed inflation actually came in higher than expected, the top line number. And I think there was a little bit of a dip and the market was like, you know, it didn't crash or anything, but I was like, man, we're done. This trade's done. You know, like the inflation report and then Powell's going to come out and say his, you know, we need to keep rates higher. And I just figured we'd get a pullback, right? But as we got closer to the market open, the market actually opened relatively flat. And then it started to creep higher. It was pretty much going the opposite of what I thought it should have done, right? Which happens all the time. And again, Powell's about to speak like 30 minutes later. So we have this going on. And Again, I'm in this insurance style trade, betting on the market closing higher today based on some math that doesn't take into account any economic events or Powell or anything. So as the market started to rally, some of the other members started taking profits. Most got out at 50% of the max gain, which is a kind of a normal profit-taking level, especially when you get a move in your favor. And they were out of the trade, you know, within the first, I'm going to call it hour of the day, give or take. So I decided to stick with the best performing variation, which basically holds to expiration. And the market is, I know I'm still like, let's call it 15 points out of the money, which isn't a lot, by the way. I'm 10 or 15 points out of the money with 6 hours, 5.5 hours or something to go. And so let me tell you, this was the first thing that was difficult. It was everything in my power I could do to not close that trade and take that profit and just stick with the plan, right? It's been ingrained in me from various, you know, people that I follow in the past or have learned from through my experience as well, that taking profits when you get quick moves in your favor, it's a great way to remove risk, recycle capital, and basically look for the next setup kind of thing. So it's just in my inherent nature to we put on a trade and you get a big move in your favor. And this is more with credit spreads, you know, it's a little bit different, but like you just take the profit and you just wait, maybe you get a pullback and you can re-enter or something. So, and part of the reason I do that is basically because of what happened next. Now I didn't close the trade. I waited, I left the trade on, and then the market started to fade, of course. And by the lunch hour, about halfway through the day, the short strike of my put credit spread had been breached and SPX was now trading between my strikes. So now at this point, it's basically a coin flip as to whether or not this trade's going to make money or not. Basically, all the morning unrealized profits had just evaporated. So now I'm worried about the trade. I'm slightly pissed because I'm thinking I'm about to watch, you know, literally watch a winning trade turn into a loser. That's another thing that I'm just like, I don't let winners turn into losers. You know, if you're up a significant amount, like I've just never wanted to see that thing turn red. So I just take the profit, right? But then the market stabilized and it started to drift higher. And then a couple hours later, this thing is out of the money and now making more money than the 50% gain that people had taken in the morning. And by the last hour of the day, the spread was only worth 10 cents. I had sold the spread the day before for $2.20. You know, it was a five wide PCS or put credit spread. And we had an hour to go and it was at 10 cents. And we were still maybe like 20 points out of the money. It was still like the trade is almost over. We're 23 hours in and I was still nervous. Like 20 points isn't that much. We could tank 20 points in the last hour and this thing could go from a hero back to a zero, right? So again, 20 points is really not that much. And I was kind of just waiting for a rug pull or something because I couldn't believe the market was rallying because the inflation was higher than expected. Like it just, nothing was making sense, right? I ended up buying the spread back because I just couldn't wait another hour. I bought the spread back for 10 cents. Now the trade ended up actually expiring worthless, which was the original plan. But I was actually okay with booking 95% of the profit and just being done with that trade. Even though I had made it 23 hours, I'm telling you, this trade was like the longest trade I had been in, or at least how I felt I've been in a long time. Even a trade like a 7 or 14 day spread, they're just slower moving. So even though the time is faster here, the P&L can swing greatly with these short-term trades. I'm sure you guys know it's really more of a gamma thing. And so there, it's like the combination of the short expiration, the one day to expiration, ignoring my intuitive sort of risk-averse nature of opening a short-term trade ahead of a major report with like Powell speaking, and it was an inflation report, automating the trade, and then basically doing nothing only to let fate sort of run its course is something that I'm not used to. I'm still adjusting to that. So there's a lot of things that went into this one relatively simple, easy, you know, I'm air quoting here, easy to follow strategy, but there's a lot of feels that come with that. Now, one of the things I already did, I forgot to mention, I had actually created a separate account that the trading bot could run in so that my normal account that I'm kind of in and out of, I wouldn't be actually seeing the P&L. So I think that helped a little bit. However, I still knew what the strikes were. I know what strikes the spread was sold at. I knew where the market needed to be, and I knew how much, you know, I could basically in my mind guesstimate how much I was winning or losing at any given moment. And I ended up, you know, every 30 minutes or so, I was just checking my phone. Even though it's a fully automated trade, I was just like waiting to see where the market was at. Oh, it's up. Oh, it's down. You know, so it was definitely not as quote unquote easy as it was. And it's not that the trade isn't easy or it's not mechanical. It's the signal is there. It's can you stay in it? Can you follow the plan? And I kind of did. I admittedly closed the trade early. So maybe technically I didn't fully follow the plan. And I'm okay with that. I'm fully admitting that. But the takeaway I think here is that if you want to actually be mechanical and you want to look at automating some of your trades at some point, you should be prepared for factors like this to just kind of mentally creep in. Things that I mentioned here, like news events, overbought conditions, being afraid of letting winners turn into losers, those sort of things that we kind of deal with on a regular basis. You're going to have to resist the urge to alter the plan, right? Discretionary, emotional responses. You really have to resist that urge, and it is not easy. So I hope you found this helpful. If anything, maybe you found it entertaining. I don't know. Again, I'm going to put a link in the description to the free video about that strategy. If you just want to check it out, check out the research and maybe some of this will make a little bit more sense, but that's what I got today. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you in the next episode.